KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:03, we have mostly clear skies, 0 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy here today with a high around 20. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. A woman has been arrested in Council Bluffs after a 90-minute chase that began across the Missouri River in Bellevue, Nebraska. The Omaha World-Herald says the pursuit began at around 1:30 a.m. Wednesday when a Bellevue police officer checked a car that had stopped on a highway off-ramp. The officer said the car nearly backed into the officer's cruiser before heading north toward Omaha. The chase continued into Omaha and back to Bellevue, where the car stopped several times and sped away when officers approached. The driver eventually went to Omaha and drove east into Council Bluffs using the westbound lanes of Interstate 80. A woman was arrested a little after 3 a.m. when she stopped her car for good in Council Bluffs. Charges are pending in both states. No names have been released. News time is 8:04.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In a correction to their story that we told you about last hour, the Associated Press says that more than 100 airline passengers left Omaha after their plane made an uneventful emergency landing on Christmas Day. Southwest Airlines spokesman Paul Flanagan says a fuel valve problem prompted the crew of Flight 2879 to declare an emergency. The Boeing 737 was diverted to Omaha's Ebley Airfield and landed around 9:30 Tuesday night. Flanagan says the plane landed without incident. It had been carrying 109 passengers and 5 crew members from Denver to Kansas City International Airport. He said the passengers boarded another plane and arrived in Kansas City, Missouri about 2 hours later than their original schedule. A new state program aims to line up unpaid internships for unemployed Iowans with the goal of having that internship turn into a full-time job. Teresa Whalert is the director of the Iowa Workforce Development and the state agency that is managing the program.
We take people who are still collecting their unemployment benefits and match them to jobs that are open, where a company has several jobs, can't seem to get the jobs filled.
The interns will work 24 hours a week and must spend another 16 hours per week getting a special certification that shows they're skilled at applied mathematics, reading comprehension, and searching for information. Just one intern has completed the program so far, working at a lumber supply company that could not find applicants to fill a job opening.
And instead of having an eight-week internship, this person only had a two-week internship, which is just fine. The company offered him a full-time job. And the rest of the story is that intern only had 7 weeks left on his unemployment benefit. So we were able to match him to a job when he only had 7 weeks left. And it just so happens that the intern happened to be a veteran. So it was really a great story.
State officials launched the program statewide in late November with 15 unemployed beginning their eight-week-long internships. Iowa Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds is often in the spotlights on issues ranging from trade initiatives to political campaigning, but she's also pursuing a more private agenda as a college student. Reynolds is taking night courses toward a bachelor's degree in public administration at Upper Iowa University in West Des Moines. It's a long-delayed return to school for Reynolds, who set her own education aside after 2 years at Northwest Missouri State University to get married and raise 3 daughters. Now, some expect Reynolds to someday seek the Republican nomination for governor, but she says her return to college is not an effort to build on her resume before such an effort. Reynolds says her college degree is simply a goal that she set for herself, and it is a priority. The annual farmland survey released earlier this month by Iowa State University showed a record average cost of land at $8,296 an acre. ISU economist Mike Duffy, who conducts the survey, says most of the purchases were made by those who want to expand.
Well, it's typically going to be either neighbors or people within the neighborhood. As we look at buyers outside of Iowa relative to the ones inside, the vast majority are inside Iowa.
Duffy said farmers see the high return on corn and soybeans as a reason for investing in more of that land.
What we're seeing is a continuing increase in the amount of land that's going to farmers and a decrease in the amount of land going to investors. And that's, I think, due to the fact that the farmers are the ones making the money off the land right now. Farmers view land in a different way. And so they're in the market much stronger now than the investors are.
Duffy says that there is more transfer of land by inheritance right now than by sale. He says the higher prices have made some of those who inherit land decide not to keep it.
Well, I think that's particularly true for non-farming heirs that have inherited. They're looking at the land and saying, you know, we would have held on to it with it at $2,000 or $3,000 an acre, but with it at $8,000 or $9,000 an acre, then prices sentimentality went up, and so we are seeing, I think, more activity from that group.
The annual survey from Iowa State University showed farmland values increased almost 24% over last year. And taking a look at world headlines at this hour, snow and ice are covering roads in southern Illinois and southern Indiana. Officials are urging residents in those locations to stay home if they can. An enormous storm system that brought snow and sleet to the nation's midsection and tornadoes to the deep south is now moving its way toward the northeast. The storm system has been blamed for 3 deaths and several injuries. It's caused hundreds of flights to be canceled today. Members of Congress have been expressing nothing but pessimism about the chances of reaching a deal to avoid the so-called fiscal cliff at the start of the new year. But both sides will be back in Washington tomorrow. President Obama is leaving his holiday vacation in Hawaii later today, and members of Congress are also due back. Funerals have been scheduled for this Sunday and next Monday for the 2 volunteer firefighters who were shot and killed while responding to a fire near Rochester, New York on Christmas Eve. Police say an ex-con, William Spengler, set out on a quest to burn down his neighborhood just before sunrise and had plenty of ammunition with him as he waited to ambush the first responders. Spengler was later found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, and authorities believe he may have killed his sister. There's been another high-level defection from Syria's military. An Arab television station is reporting that the general who heads Syria's military police has joined the uprising against President Bashar Assad's regime. The general appeared in a video aired by the TV station yesterday saying he's joining the People's Revolution. And China has opened the world's longest high-speed rail line. It cuts in half the amount of time it takes to go from Beijing in the north to Guangzhou, an economic hub in southern China. Trains will initially run at 186 miles per hour, with a total travel time of about 8 hours to cover the 1,400 miles. News time is 8:10.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In the funeral announcements this morning, Carol Anderson, age 78, of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Carol Anderson will be this afternoon at 1 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mary Conklin, age 86, formerly of Audubon, died September 30th in Grand Island, Nebraska. Funeral services for Mary Conklin will be today at 2 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Joanne Schweery, age 73, of Panama, died Saturday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A massive Christian burial service for Joanne Schweery will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at St. Mary of the Assumption Church in Panama. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Robert Cruz, age 90, of Manning, died December 20th at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Robert Cruz will be held Thursday at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Tammy Amos, age 54, of Griswold, died December 20th at the Cass County Memorial Hospital, or CCMH, in Atlantic. Funeral services for Tammy Amos will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Jean Cambridge, age 74, of Atlantic, died December 20th at CCMH. Services for Jean Cambridge will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Judith Altfelish Kim, age 71, formerly of Atlantic, died December 19th in Scottsdale, Arizona. Funeral services for Judith Altfelish Kim will be held Friday at 11 o'clock at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Linda Lou Sanders Fudge, age 61, of Atlantic, died December 16th at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Memorial services for Linda Fudge will be held Friday at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Rowena Hazel Ratzliff, age 79, of Atlantic, died Sunday at CCMH. Funeral services for Rowena Ratzliff will be on Friday at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Helen Gray, age 72, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the CCMH. Funeral services for Helen Gray will be held Friday at 2:30 in the chapel at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Helen Pig, age 90, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Monday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Helen Pig will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic, with Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic in charge of arrangements. Gene Casey, age 64, of Griswold, died Monday at his home. Memorial services for Gene Casey are pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. And Bill Huff, age 85, of Greenfield, died Monday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Bill Huff are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by First National Bank, with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.